On this episode of The Big Number, we react live to the news that Giannis is, quote, looking for a new home, end quote. It's not a trade request, but yes, it is, or is it? Who knows? All this coming up right now. Welcome to an emergency live podcast version of The Big Number. We have a new home request. Dan, this is not a trade demand. This is not a trade request. We have a ready for a new home for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's ready for a new home, according to ESPN Shams Charania. And Dan, it is what we do here every week at The Big Number. We do a pod, break down the numbers on a big story in the league. We do this every week at Yahoo Sports. And if you're watching right now, please smash that subscribe button while you're here. We're doing this live. We usually tape this. But with Shams Charania's report, Dan, of Giannis Antetokounmpo ready for a new home, are you ready to do this live, Dan?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be, Tom. So let's get to it. I think I'm ready to put up some numbers live here for the YouTube audience. So hit me with it. What is this week's big number?
Yeah, so this week's big number is 16, as in the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo are the equivalent of a 16-win team. Over 82 games, they are terrible on pace for having a terrible record, which is all the more relevant with the news today from Shams Charania of ESPN that Giannis Antetokounmpo is ready to be traded. Oh, sorry. Excuse me, Dan. Ready for a new home. So we have a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, that of course in the playoffs last year, Damian Lillard tears his Achilles. They decide to double down on this Giannis movement. And instead of hitting that trade button or rebuild button, they decide to go assign Miles Turner, waive Damian Lillard, who goes to Portland. And Miles Turner gets this big old contract. And everyone in the league was sitting there being like, what? They're really going for this? And here we are a few months later where Giannis Antetokounmpo has seen enough and he's ready to plot his exit. And I don't blame him. Dan, we did this in October. We said here on this show, we broke down the numbers about the supporting cast for the Milwaukee Bucks and said, this is not a championship team. This is not what Giannis Antetokounmpo wants. They don't have the supporting cast that can support basically what Giannis wants is to contend at the highest levels. And we're hearing the reports, Dan, that the writing has been on the wall. We're big for months in October 8th episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, go check that out. We lay this all out. The prophecy was there at the big number. We basically laid out the whole thing is that this supporting cast is not ready to compete. And now you're seeing it 16 win pace without Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it is time to pull the plug, pull the ripcord and tank. And people are sitting there being like, wait, the Bucks don't have they don't control their 2026 pick because they traded that pick in order to get Jrue Holiday. And so the New Orleans Pelicans, now in the hands of the Atlanta Hawks, they had the swap rights. But here's the thing. The Milwaukee Bucks have an incentive to be as bad as possible now that the Pelicans are terrible because they're going to get the less favorable of those two picks. Basically, the New Orleans pick that's going to Atlanta. The Atlanta Hawks can swap that either for New Orleans or the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to have a great pick this year regardless. They're a lotto team right now. And Dan, I think it's time to tank because if you look at the numbers without Giannis Antetokounmpo this season, the Milwaukee Bucks are a putrid 3-12, okay? With Giannis Antetokounmpo, they're 15-15. And over the course of an 82-game season, a 3-12 record means that's a 16-win team. So, Dan, we are ready to do the show without this new home readiness, right? But now I feel like it's pretty apparent. The Bucks got to tank now. They got to maximize this pick. And if they can't get number one, but they can get number two, they can get number three, number four, number five, and right now they have the seventh best odds. And that's where I'm looking, is how do the Milwaukee Bucks here navigate this trade request from Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is what it is. And I think it's time for them to acknowledge they have to be as bad as possible going forward to maximize this pick.
I'm having such a hard time holding in my head the idea that Giannis is ready for a new home, either at the upcoming trade deadline or this offseason, but we don't call it a trade request because I talked to Sam Amick and I said, I would never do that. That's not in my character. That's not who I am. I would never say I want out. I'm just saying I'm ready for a new home. And the Bucks are like, well, we would never trade our franchise icon, the guy who delivered our first championship in a half century, our best player since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We're ready to listen. Like, no one wants to be the bad guy. No one wants to pull the ripcord or rip the Band-Aid off. And so here we are. We're in this drips and drabs feeling. I'm getting the whiff of like a Blazers Damian Lillard type situation, kind of. That's the vibes that are sort of surrounding all this. And so whether this ends in a week and a half or ends in 6 months or never ends, we're stuck in a time loop. You know, it's a Groundhog Day type situation of just this story forever and ever. It feels like everyone's ready to acknowledge that the Bucks, as you mentioned, can't get where they want to go. With Giannis off the floor this season, they have been outscored, according to our friends at Cleaning the Glass, by 11.4 points per 100 possessions. The Washington Wizards, who are the worst team in the NBA, just about, are being outscored by 10.9 points per 100 possessions. So the non-Giannis Bucks have been worse than the Washington Wizards this season. And yeah, that goes to your point of 16-win supporting cast, not something that, you know, is going to be able to get you over the finish line here. So the Bucks are in the situation. I mean, they've known where they were going to be at this point. They had the hopes that the roster that they put around Giannis Antetokounmpo would be good enough to get them where they wanted to be. And it's pretty clear that dubious, has not worked out that way.
Yeah.
It was a hope, you know, it was hope more than a plan, essentially. And when Giannis has been on the floor, they've been a 500 team and they've won his minutes pretty handily, but that's about as far as the positivity goes. So they are in a situation. I don't think it's funny because like the wording of the Shams report does not necessarily dramatically change the facts on the ground as we've understood them for a long period of time. The Bucks know they are coming to this decision point. It's just like now, instead of the train being three stops away, it's like a stop away. Like, we know we're closer to where we were going with this. And so to me, I think your point is really interesting. This is maybe the basketball gods kind of shooting the Bucks a little bit of bail. Like, you know, you guys made the effort to try to put a competitive team around Giannis, to put him in a situation where you can still continue to compete today, rather than just saying, all right, forget it. We're blowing it up. We're going full KOC, blowing everything up, and we're starting over. We're going to keep raging against the dying of the light here, not forgetting that this is who this guy is to us. And so as a result of that, the basketball gods are like, okay, so maybe he deals with another calf strain and he's out for a month and a half and you guys wind up falling into that bottom four or top four, however you want to put it. And there are some like Philly last year vibes, right? Where the Sixers, everything just went to hell for them last year. They obviously, I mean, they maneuvered their way in the second half of the season. You know, if anybody who watched the Sixers after the trade deadline last year remembers that. But it put them in a situation to be able to keep their pick, draft VJ Edgecombe, and then like there's an entirely new way to view what their team can be. Is AJ DeBanza that kind of prospect if he lands in a Bucks uniform? Cameron Boozer, Darren Peterson, you know, admittedly, I don't know a ton about this draft class, but I know the people have spoken very, very highly of the prospects in it. So there's a world where the Bucks, even with the temperature going up and their willingness to listen and Giannis's relative readiness increasing, they decide what's best for us is we got to just like hold fast, grab on and hold tight and see what's out there for us. And the best opportunity might not be in 9 days or 6 days or whatever. It might be in 5 months, or it might be after we hit the lottery, and then it's just walk into next season with Giannis and this Uber prospect and another transaction cycle for us to be able to fit around it. Those possibilities are still on the table. It's just now, I think John Horst and his front office are going to have to evaluate all of the other potential opportunities around him even more seriously, because it sounds like Giannis is ready for some more serious conversations.
Yeah. I think as you laid out, this is either happening now, and there's a lot of reasons for it to happen now. Henry Abbott made this amazing report here over at truehoop.com, where he said that there's been rumors, or at least he's talked to people, that Giannis Antetokounmpo might be a guy that Rich Paul wants to represent, which is kind of obvious. But what's not obvious is that, according to Henry Abbott's reporting, is that Rich Paul of Clutch Sports has been talking to Giannis Antetokounmpo's brother, Thanasis, his confidant, And that is a very interesting development in the world of agents, because you can't represent a player right away if you switch agents. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not represented by Rich Paul. And if he wanted to switch agents, there is a quote-unquote cooling period of if Rich Paul were to represent Giannis Antetokounmpo ahead of the trade deadline. It needs to happen 7 days before the trade deadline. And if you look at the calendar, we're about 7 days away from the February 5th trade deadline. And so there is some reason for this report to come out now that Giannis wants to be traded by the February 5th deadline, which the other incentive here for Giannis Antetokounmpo to make this request now to have a new home is this maximum extension. The most money he can get in October, he will be eligible for a four-year, $275 million extension. It's a lot of money, Dan. It's about $70 million a year. If he wants to be eligible for that extension, he has to be with his team for at least 6 months. So if you trade Giannis Antetokounmpo right now to, let's say, Atlanta, to Miami, to Brooklyn, to Golden State, then he can be eligible in time to sign that max extension in October with his new team. If he waits and says, look, I actually don't want to be traded right now. I kind of like Milwaukee winners. I want to continue through February and March, and I want to revisit this in the offseason. He will have to wait another 6 months after he's traded in order to sign that extension. So if he wants to get that thing as soon as possible, that big bag as soon as possible, it's incumbent on him to get this trade done sooner than later, as in the next week. So the tanking is really important for them because they do have their first round pick this season. They might not have it, you know, going forward in terms of the picks that they outlay to Portland and others. This is an opportunity right now to maximize this pick. And also, I think they should be talking to other teams and saying, we want additional draft picks. And according to Shams Charania, Dan, they're looking for one and probably two things. One, blue chip young talent, according to Shams Charania, and or a surplus of draft picks. That is what they're going to be prioritizing. In other words, they want the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander package. They want the Kevin Durant package. They want the maximum kitchen sink blockbuster, everything on the table package. And that, my friends, is bad news for a few teams. Number one, the New York Knicks. They don't have either of those things. You can talk yourself into Deuce McBride all you want, Dan, and you and I are both big fans of Deuce. He is not a blue chip young talent. He is a good young talent. Jalen Brunson, not young. Karl Anthony Towns, not young. OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, not young. They don't have what is going to have what it takes to move to the front of the line. Maybe they make some moves now to get to the front of the line this upcoming offseason. But there are a lot of teams out there that can get to the front of the line right now and sweeten this offer and get in a bidding war that leaves the New York Knicks out in the cold. And I know there was a report this offseason from Shams Charania that the New York Knicks were where he wanted to go. But if truly the Milwaukee Bucks are at the wheel here, and that is what right now what Shams Charania's reporting suggests, is that the Bucks have the leverage here to pick which destination they trade Giannis Antetokounmpo to. There is not a, I want to go to the New York Knicks or else. This is, I want out. I want a new home. He didn't say, according to Shams Charania, that he wants to go to the Knicks in this report. Maybe that comes later. But as of now, I think this takes out the New York Knicks. And I think this moves Houston, San Antonio, Atlanta, Detroit, OKC. There's other teams here that could get into this that have both a surplus of draft picks first that they can send to Milwaukee and blue chip young talent. Dan, I know you've kind of sketched out some trade destinations that maybe you're looking at for Giannis Antetokounmpo if it were to come to pass that he is ready for a new home. And sure enough, he is ready for a new home. And we'll be right back after this break. Is there a team that the more you look into it, the more it makes sense to you for Giannis trade destinations?
Candidly, no. I think that's what makes right now a challenge, is because as you're looking for the teams that would check all of the boxes that the Bucks want to have checked here, the I mean, the closest thing to a match that can give you blue chip talent and draft capital is Oklahoma City, who won the NBA championship last year and are the best team in the NBA this year. And I don't think necessarily feel like they need to. I mean, yes, they've lost 10 games. Shock horror. It's not like they're in a position where they suddenly feel like they've got to upset their apple cart, I don't think. I think they're in a situation where it's like, let's get our guys healthy. Let's get everybody up to speed. And we are still, by the way, like on pace for the best point differential in NBA history. So we're okay. So then like you go down the list here and we can actually, if you want to like sort of transition us a little bit into our little numbers segment, we can start working that way. The next team sort of down that list in terms of draft capital, future draft capital, was my first little number this week. That first little number was 13. And that's how many incoming future first round picks the Brooklyn Nets control at this point, according to a preseason analysis by Bobby Marks and Jeremy Wu of ESPN. If you are starting from the position of we need to replenish our coffers in any Giannis deal, I think you look at where those picks are, where they come from. There are three unprotected Knicks first rounders from the Mikal Bridges trade, 2027, 2029, and 2031. There's the unprotected Denver Nuggets 2032 first round pick, which came over in the Michael Porter Jr. trade. The Nets also have full control over their own 2026 first, which as we were talking about their odds right now, I think they have the fifth worst record in the NBA, would give them about a 42% chance at a top four pick and a 10.5% chance at the number one pick. So if you are the Bucks and you're saying this draft class, we want to get in as much as we can, provides you potentially an opportunity to double dip there. And they still have, famously, they drafted five dudes in the first round of the 2025 NBA draft. So you've got a bunch of dudes on rookie scale contracts. I don't know that Yegor Dioman or Danny Wolf or Drake Powell, like your evaluations may vary. Reasonable people might say that person's a blue chip or that person's not. I don't know that the whole league necessarily thinks of those guys as franchise changing prospects, but Dioman has certainly showed, he's earned a lot of minutes and shown some stuff in his rookie season. And if you are the Bucks and you're saying, where does that come from? Where do we check all of our boxes? I don't know that Giannis wants to go to Brooklyn. I don't think we've had any indication in the run-up reporting here that Brooklyn is in, has been like around that conversation or that Giannis has shown any interest in that. We know that the last time the Nets tried to kind of microwave a winner and go superstar hunting, it didn't wind up working out super hot. Actually, the last two times, thinking back to the KG Paul Pierce deal, or that Giannis would want to stay. We know that he's had interest in New York, not necessarily Brooklyn. So there's some questions about what that would mean. Maybe you're looking at a package of something like Michael Porter Jr., Nick Claxton. Those guys are like reusable, essentially reroutable vets who have some value around the league. Dioman, Drake Powell, you know, insert your preferred young prospect there. If you've got a real hair across you for Nolan Traore, go for it. A handful of first round picks, whatever swaps aren't nailed down. And then you take Giannis and also the Kyle Kuzma contract for Milwaukee. So if you're Milwaukee, you're getting off money, you're getting bites at the apple, you're getting the unprotected stuff for, you know, to bet against the Knicks and the Nuggets in the future. And you're getting a couple of, you know, young guys to sort of take a lottery shot on. Maybe that's something if you're looking to try to check all those boxes. I don't know. I've yelled a lot at you just now. What does any of that make you think?
I just don't see the blue chip prospects there, you know, like you said, eye of the beholder, certainly, but in terms of market value, I think that Horst can look at this package and say, I can get better blue chip prospects from elsewhere. Maybe you flip, like you said, flip Michael Porter Jr., Claxton to another team, and maybe you get those prospects, like say Golden State said, hey, you know what? Actually, Brandon Pajemski, Wisconsin's own Brandon Pajemski, we're very interested in Michael Porter Jr. We'll throw in some more picks and maybe it can be a three-way deal with Golden State. But I don't see the blue chip young talent names on this list for Brooklyn, which is why that draft was so important for Brooklyn, is they needed to hit on any of these in order to go, you know, big game hunting for a guy like Giannis. I just don't see that. But the picks... You start with Brooklyn Nets because of the picks. OKC, of course, as you mentioned, you have to think about. But Sam Presti, I don't think he's going to add a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo at his age. And he has been, I think as you've seen in this, and the way that he has handled this trade request, non-trade request, my buddy CJ in Milwaukee, he said it's the immaculate trade request. not really a trade request, but also like we can just call it what it is. This is something that I look at, and OKC doesn't seem like the most logical destination, given the fact that it's the reigning champs, like you said. Isaiah Hartenstein has not played much this season, so you could kind of put Giannis into that slot and say, look, we're upgrading from Isaiah Hartenstein to Giannis. I think you do that move. But again, the culture, the organization, the chemistry, all of that would be disrupted with Giannis, and given what I just said. It hasn't been the cleanest exit here, and a lot of it is just this back channeling at odds with ownership, disagreeing with ownership, the press conferences. It's not that Giannis Antetokounmpo is this malcontent, this guy who's going to be a coach killer, all this stuff. I just don't think that OKC is going to swing for this unless their backs are against the wall and they're desperate. And they're not in that position. As you tweeted out, ready for a new home, still isn't, has requested a trade because nobody wants to be the bad guy. You know what this reminds me of, Dan, while we're here?
What's that?
Remember when Adrian Wojnarowski had at ESPN with the draft picks that he didn't want to actually say that he had a whole thesaurus about the draft picks, zeroing in on, has eyes focused on, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Shams just upgraded that at the trade deadline. Ready for a new, how long do you think they were workshopping that? The ready for a new home. Like, where in the thesaurus, Dan? I mean, as a wordsmith like yourself, what other synonyms can you come up with that felt like it is not a trade request, but it gets the job done? Is looking open to a change of scenery? How does that do it for you?
I mean, I personally like ready for a new home because, as in, I have to give credit where it's due here. Peter Edmiston used to cover the Memphis Grizzlies. Friend of mine reached out on Blue Sky to say, in our reluctance to use regular language of all this, we're starting to hit more and more of the same terms used for adopting a rescue dog. And I think that that's pretty funny in this situation that he's just ready for a new home. Can you be Giannis's forever home? I kind of love that notion. I imagine you're probably right. Like, has a crisis PR team been brought in to sort of figure out what the messaging is, how to massage and workshop all the language here to make sure that
does it
can
change
never
anything?
Be...
I don't think it change. It doesn't change anything. Everyone with a half a brain in Milwaukee is like, he just made a trade request. Like, let's be honest here. And dragging through this, prolonging this little like courtship and this standoff, no one looks better from this. It should have happened in the offseason. I know that's hard to do when you just had Damian Lillard and this championship trajectory, and it all went up in thin air. Now, the Indiana Pacers, they didn't panic when they had Tyrese Halliburton. They just decided, all right, let's just keep things moving. And I guess you could say, look, the Indiana Pacers, they don't have a Giannis on the team. They had no choice, but in Pascal Siakam, love the guy, but not a Giannis type guy. And they weren't panicking and deciding, look, we got to double down on this. So Milwaukee, they could have gotten more for Giannis Antetokounmpo had this happened a few months ago. He's hurt right now with a very weird timetable that Doc Rivers refuses to give any sort of specifics on, saying Giannis is right that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks through the trade deadline, but we're not going to put a timetable on this. There's no timetable. Same thing with Kevin Porter Jr. When he had the oblique strain a couple weeks ago, they said he's not ready to come back anytime soon. So I can probably cross him off the list in terms of contributors this season. And before we get into the other trade destinations, I want to point out that without Kevin Porter Jr., without Giannis Antetokounmpo, they have lost 6 straight games in Milwaukee Bucks. This is really important when you're looking at the draft lottery odds, because right now the Milwaukee Bucks have a very precarious hold on the 7th best lottery odds. Right behind them, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Charlotte Hornets, the Dallas Mavericks. They're right behind, within a half game of the 7th slot, which right now, as we speak, the Milwaukee Bucks are holding on to very precariously, right? White knuckled, hanging on to that 7th spot. Charlotte, Memphis, and Dallas are right behind it within a half game. This is super important. And I know that this is kind of mind-numbing to some people out there. The way that the NBA has structured the draft lottery is that if the Milwaukee Bucks move a half game back in the standings, they will see their top five draft odds get sliced by into a third. So you go from 7 to 10, and your ability to get AJ DeBanza, Darren Peterson, all that gets sliced by a third. And so it's a half game. It's a sliver in the standings, but it's a huge chasm in terms of your odds of getting one of those franchise-changing players, which is why, without Kevin Porter Jr., without Giannis, they need to pull that ripcord. And as much as we hate to say, hey, you need to be as bad as possible, I think we're here. I think we're here in order for them to beat out Memphis, Charlotte, and Dallas in those draft lottery odds. They need to pull the ripcord. And Miles Turner, he just went through a finals run. He's probably banged up. I don't know if he's going to have an injury right now existing that he can say, look, I need some time here. I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see him come up with an injury here in the injury report, because I just think this is the time for the Milwaukee Bucks. I will say Houston and San Antonio is really interesting for me, Dan. And we'll get to Miami in a second. Houston checks off both of those boxes. Reed Shepard, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith. These are all young talent, blue chip talent that, depending on your mileage on Jabari Smith and Reed Shepard, I think Amen Thompson certainly fits that category, fits the bill of a blue chip young talent. Reed Shepard's 21, same age range of Amen Thompson and Jabari Smith. But if you move over to San Antonio, they can also say the same with Dylan Harper, who's 19 years old. He's still a teenager, blue chip young talent, and Stephon Castle at 21 years old. They can check off both of those boxes and have the picks to put into a deal. Tough thing for Giannis, though, is does he want to share the spotlight with a Victor Wembanyama or with a Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün? Is the fit there for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Again, I'm going to reiterate, unless there's something out there that we are not seeing, there hasn't been a trade destination request for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He hasn't said he wants to go to the Knicks. He hasn't said he wants to go for San Antonio. He hasn't said Houston. Maybe that comes in the next few days if he's not happy with the direction that the Milwaukee Bucks are heading. But as of now, I think at the top of the list, you got Houston, San Antonio, and Atlanta. And I think you've got another team that you're circling around, that's got your attention as one of your little numbers here.
Yes, and I have to interject here because very quickly I'm just seeing it coming across the transom. Chris Mannix at Sports Illustrated reported yesterday in a Tuesday column, the Warriors have made it known to the Bucks that they are willing to offer a Jonathan Kuminga / Jimmy Butler headlined package with draft picks for Giannis Antetokounmpo, sources tell Sports Illustrated. Pretty smart guy I know named Tom Haberstroh discussed that as a possibility on The Big Number. I believe it was last week. We know that Mike Dunleavy Jr. in the aftermath of Jimmy Butler's season-ending injury had said, we have no intention of moving Jimmy. We anticipate having him back next season. You know, we sort of keep him around. We bring him back. The big sort of fly in the ointment there, or the caveat being, if there's an opportunity to get a potential game-changing prospect and player, and you know, Giannis certainly would seem to qualify. And the rumors and the rumblings about the Warriors wanting to be in the Giannis business go back to at least like 2018 or 2019. So this is not a particular shock there. Very interesting, though, as a potential. You know, we talk about I think your mileage may vary on Kuminga being a blue chip prospect, but maybe the Bucks see him as somebody that, given an opportunity, could develop their draft capital. I mean, the Warriors, I believe, control everything from here on out in terms of their firsts and the potential theoretical financial relief that would come with Jimmy Butler, or being able to reroute him and recoup additional value there. So whether that's of interest to John Horst, I think that's worth keeping an eye on. I imagine that even if Giannis hasn't made a list of teams available or saying, I want any particular destination, Steph maybe is of interest as you look for what the next path of your career might wind up being. You mentioned also Miami being part of this. You mentioned them earlier. They were my second little number for this week's show, and that's 115, which is the Miami Heat's offensive rating this season, according to Cleaning the Glass. 115 points per 100 possessions. That just ranks 18th in the NBA in offensive efficiency this season. Not exactly the high-octane thrill ride that we anticipated the Heat being when they junked their offense, brought in Noel Arosh and started saying, no more ball screens, all dribble drive downhill. If you want to supercharge a downhill dribble drive offense, Giannis Antetokounmpo seems to be a pretty good dude for having around to do it. And if you're want to be able to survive in advance in the playoffs, you need more firepower. Mark Stein reported late Tuesday night, the quote was, "Miami, for what it's worth, is said to believe it has a real shot at crafting a pathway to Antetokounmpo." This was echoed this morning by SNY's Ian Begley, where he said the Knicks are going to be involved in making an offer. He certainly anticipates Miami to be there as well. What that pathway looks like, you know, I'm not super sure. It might look something like Andrew Wiggins, who has a $30.2 million player option for next season, where you could either, you know, extend him off of that and reduce that number, or potential some salary relief there. Terry Rozier, our old friend Terry Rozier, haven't heard much from him in a while, as he cools his heels amid the ongoing investigation into sports gambling. The $26.7 million expiring contract if the NBA lets Miami trade it, which the fact that he hasn't been,
to.
You know,
put they on got
any,
to.
I just wanted they got to let him at this point.
Yeah.
So potential salary relief, again, potential reroutable player in Wiggins. Maybe it's Khalil Ware. Maybe it's Kasparis Jakusconis, their rookie. They've been getting some more floor time recently. Some future firsts, some swaps. You know, I think the Heat can currently trade three firsts unless they're able to maneuver things around to where they get off of one that alleviates their Stepien rule restriction in the deal where they owe Charlotte, I believe, a 2027 first. I don't have it in front of me right now. Sorry, everybody. We're going on the fly. But they can trade three right now. There might be a way for them to loosen things up to trade four plus some swaps. And then you got Giannis, Thanasis, because wherever Giannis goes, there's a decent bet that Thanasis is going with him. And then, you know, call it Amir Coffey, Cole Anthony. The Bucks have a few different guys on minimum scale contracts. You know, you're dealing in during the season, a like 5-for-1 or 6-for-2 kind of deal, really tough to make work with roster minimum restrictions. But you know, you get a couple of minimum guys that go along with it. Maybe that is the pathway that Milwaukee looks at. Our pal Jake Fisher just earlier this morning wrote that it's believed that Miami, if it's parting with Wiggins at all, would prefer to use his salary as part of a deal that brings a star caliber player back to South Beach. Giannis would certainly qualify. And Jake also reported Milwaukee has long coveted Wiggins, sources say, although that interest has always been expressed previously as an offshoot of their effort to get more help for Giannis. So from Milwaukee's perspective, it's a couple of projectable prospects in where Jakusconis, or if you prefer Jaime Jaquez, whatever, let's talk about it.
Yep.
Some immediate salary relief by waiving Rozier, some potential future salary relief by moving on from Wiggins, or another player that you can use in the meantime. And you start restocking your draft pick coffers by basically betting on the downside of Giannis's career in Miami. And for Miami, you're looking at Giannis and Bam together up front. Norm, Tyler Hero, Davion Mitchell, Cole Anthony at the guard spots. Whoever you like best of Jaquez, Nikola Jovic, Pelle Larsson, Simone Fontecchio, Coffee on the wing. And maybe that's enough to take a crack at a pretty shaky East. I'm not totally sold on it, but what do you think of that as a thought process there for either side of that deal?
I love it for the Heat. I love it. You got Bam Adebayo on the team that can kind of shore up a lot of that back line duty that Brook Lopez had. And they've had him be a lot of Brook Lopez offensively, shooting threes finally. And although he's been struggling a little bit in that department, I do like the mix between Bam Adebayo defensively and offensively, given the stretch that he has and the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo and him just in the open court, you have two big men that can get a rebound and go start a fast break a la Al Horford, just go 94 feet full court and create out of nothing. And that's like, if Eric Spoelstra was very big-brained about this offensive realignment, a revolution this offseason to say, yeah, this is all about, you know, we want to space things out and we want to have this kind of like rotating offense for Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. But really, the light years move is that this is all a ploy to get a system that maximizes Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the fact that he is one of the top fast break guys in the NBA who is a walking dunk anytime he's out on the floor. That is genius for the Miami Heat to have an offense that is predicated on making sure you have shooters around and rotation around so you get a lot of downhill actions and you're not doing a lot of screens, which as we saw with Damian Lillard, he was never really the most happy guy setting screens for Damian Lillard. They never really took off as a pick and roll duo. And I think that's probably because I don't think Giannis, much like LeBron, they don't love being the pick and roll guy. They would rather operate in space, face forward, eyes on the facing the basket and attacking off the dribble that way rather than screening and rolling and getting their buckets that way. So I do love the fit. And also, there are different ways that the Miami Heat can construct this deal, because if the Milwaukee Bucks want a homecoming story, they got Tyler Hero, who famously left Wisconsin at the altar, Wisconsin, the school, but left the borders of Wisconsin to go to Kentucky. I don't know if that sits very well with the Wisconsinites. Wisconsinites? Is that
Wisconsin? Yeah, let's go with the Wisconsinites.
Wisconsinites. I don't know if it sits very well with those in Wisconsin, but as we've seen time and time in the NBA, once they come back full circle, you're happy in the end. Just ask Cleveland about that. Tyler Hero could come home to Milwaukee, come home to Wisconsin. There's also Jalen Johnson. We can pivot to the Atlanta Hawks here. Jalen Johnson, also a Wisconsin guy. If the Miami Heat say we got blue chip prospects and we got draft picks, but they're going to be in 2030 and 2032, the Atlanta Hawks can sit there and say, wait a minute, we can give you trade value right now. You don't have to wait till 2030 or 2032. We can give you that precious Milwaukee New Orleans swap pick, that first rounder that Milwaukee would love to have. Like, of all of the assets out on the marketplace, that might be one of the top five assets that the Milwaukee Bucks, if they're canvassing on the whiteboard and saying, hey, what are the things that we're always going to ask for when we call up these teams if they want Giannis Antetokounmpo? And this Atlanta Hawks pick, which came via the New Orleans Pelicans in the June draft in the NBA Finals last year, when they moved up to go get Derek Queen, they sent that pick over to the Atlanta Hawks, which is, again, the most favorable pick of New Orleans or Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee will have the least favorable pick there. So let's say the Atlanta Hawks said, we'll give you Jalen Johnson and we'll give you that pick and we can build a draft, a trade package around both of those things. I think the Milwaukee Bucks say yes. They hang up the phone and they say, done. Jalen Johnson and that pick, 100%. I think it's a done deal. As of now, there is no trade with the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm pretty confident in saying both of those assets have not been put into a deal. But I think that is maybe Milwaukee's best option right now is Atlanta Hawks, a trade centered around Jalen Johnson and trying to pry that first round pick in the 2026 draft that right now is a pretty good shot of being top five, almost 100% that it's going to be a top five pick in a loaded draft. But Atlanta, they might not want to put that in there, but a trade package centered around Jalen Johnson and some salary flotsam in order to get to the number of Giannis Antetokounmpo. That feels like, to me, maybe the number one on Milwaukee's big board. The tough thing about it, same thing with Miami. You're trading Giannis Antetokounmpo into the Eastern Conference, which makes things tougher for you. It's probably not great for your fan base that you have to see Giannis three or four times a year, but that's really not in their best interest at this point. Who cares? It's all about the future and what you can get in return. Jalen Johnson, he's too good for them to tank right now. That's the thing about this deal and why the Golden State Warriors trade package is interesting to me, is that Jalen Johnson right now, if you're trying to maximize that your own pick, the Milwaukee odds, Jalen Johnson is really good. He's an all-star. And so if you're Milwaukee and you want to maximize your own pick here, the least favorable of the one between New Orleans and your own, Jalen Johnson kind of backfires a little bit. And so that's where things get really interesting, Dan, is does Horace look at this and say, we want a super tanktastic package without a young star, a ready-made star? We don't want a Karl Anthony Towns package, which is basically the Nico Harrison package where they say, all right, if we're going to trade Luka, we want to keep competing. Don't think you want that. Jalen Johnson's kind of a step below, right? He's a ready-made star. He's young enough. He's 24 years old that he's not an Anthony Davis guy where you're on the downside, the backside of the back nine of his career. And we'll be right back after this break. I think I would rather have that first pick, the New Orleans swap. If I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I almost put that above Jalen Johnson right now. What do you say?
I say that if I'm Milwaukee, I probably feel like there's not really a great future without Giannis, no matter what. Like, there's not going to be a way to really be consistently competitive or remain competitive right now. So I guess in that framework, I'd rather have the pick to be able to just say, all right, we know we have to full scale reset here. I mean, I think if I'm Milwaukee, I'm starting that conversation by saying I want both of those things. But as you mentioned, the fact that the Hawks have been messaging that Johnson is like nearly untouchable and that pick is totally off limits suggests that those things are not on the table. And if they were, maybe we would have had a very different podcast a while ago. I think that if you get right down to it, though, I mean, you have to think about these also. Like, we think about these things in terms of balance sheets and spreadsheets a lot of times. There is the fan support component too, right? Like, if you are a Bucks fan and you know that you are looking at a handful more years in the desert, right? Like, how, you know, obviously it took literally a half century to get a player as, you know, on the level of Giannis, on the level of Kareem, whatever, you know, back within the fold of the franchise. But in terms of like consistent competition, being consistently good, it was a long time for the Bucks before they got to this point. And you know you're in line for that again. Is the idea of, well, Jalen Johnson can be our sort of franchise flagship guy, and we can be, you know, good in this East, and then maybe a move or two away from something more than that. Like, is that more enticing if you are thinking about not driving fans away for half a generation? I think that's an interesting thought experiment. My guess is that if you are sort of in the cold rational analysis point of view, you're saying that doesn't raise our ceiling enough. That guy is really good. He's not going to move the needle for us enough to where we get back up to the sort of the top of the line here. And I think that's to your point, you know, transitioning a little bit to the Knicks as a conversation point here, that's kind of what you were referring to in the Towns situation, right? Like, you can structure deals for the Knicks where our little number for the Knicks was one, because there was only one team that Giannis had the reported exclusive negotiating window, right? Where he was willing to open up the conversation over the summer to one potential destination, and that was New York. So in theory, if it's a closed market, it doesn't necessarily have to be the best offer. If that is where Giannis wants to be and he makes that known and he won't re-sign anywhere else, and as you talked about, there's all the incentives for him to get this done more quickly so that he can have the ability to sign that longer term, more lucrative extension. That's, you know, and he could theoretically there control his landing spot a little bit more, which I think in Shams' report that had that down too, because next season essentially serves as an expiring year in his contract. It increases his ability to position where he wants to be dealt. If that remains New York, it would be the team that would be willing to pay the steep price in both players and draft capital to acquire him. They'd want to know whether he's committed for the long term. Knicks fans with a long enough memory might remember a very similar situation with Carmelo Anthony back in whatever that was, 2011. The idea that I want to get there, but I want to get there now so that I can get the most lucrative contract that I can get. And if that means ponying up more prospects and players and whatever now, so be it. I want the contract on the other side of it. And that wound up being like Danilo Gallinari and Timofey Mozgov and like a bunch of guys from that kind of Raymond Felton from that frisky Knicks team. And then some picks that down the line wound up being some real players that the Knicks would have loved to have had during that period. I think the challenge here from the if you are a Bucks front office person or a Bucks fan's perspective is like, what does Karl Anthony Towns get you? We were talking about whether the Knicks should be trading Karl Anthony Towns because he was hurting them right now, right? As opposed to whether he's somebody that you can build around for the foreseeable future. And if you are reaching the evaluation point for where you're like, Towns doesn't get us there, what on the Knicks does? We've talked about, because the Mikal Bridges deal sent those unprotected picks to Brooklyn, the Knicks do not control their own draft future for the next handful of years. We've talked about the only incoming first round pick they've got, I believe, is a top eight protected Washington Wizards first this year, which, spoiler alert, the Wizards are going to finish inside the top eight in the lottery. That's going to turn into 2 second round picks. So the Knicks don't even have somebody else's good first to be able to trade right now. And so then if you're the Bucks, you're saying, I don't really want Towns, who's the main salary ballast. Yeah, maybe you could interest me in, I think Eric Name of The Athletic had put together something that was like OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Deuce McBride, and Josh Hart for Giannis, Thanasis, and Kuzma as like a players for players kind of package with whatever, you know, associated detritus, whatever swaps and seconds the Knicks can put together. If you are the Knicks, you're looking at that and saying, yes, we get Giannis. That's also half our rotation. And so, does that line up particularly neatly? Not so much. And if you're the Bucks, you're maybe saying, okay, maybe you do the hard part ahead of this. Turn those guys into good firsts. Find the first for OG Anunoby. Find the first for Mikal Bridges or whatever. And then you come to us with that, which now complicates that process even more. And if you're talking about a narrow window in which to do this, the compressed time frame of only, you know, a week or so ahead of the deadlock, ahead of the deadline, then making all those moving parts move in concert seems awfully difficult. That's why I've always, and we've talked about this for months now, it always seemed to me most likely that if New York was a real potential option for Giannis, it was going to need to be after the season. I don't think anything about the current state of affairs, both with Karl Towns as a potential centerpiece in any deal or with the Knicks as a structure where they would need to suddenly have a completely different franchise in a day, doesn't necessarily make me think that that's more likely.
And do you, Dan, make that trade where you're going to move OG Anunoby, preempt the Giannis package and say, look, we're going to go get our first round picks back. OG, see ya. We're going to go get a new package that is very first round pick laden, right? And you don't get Giannis. And you strike out on Giannis, and you've just traded a key piece to your championship aspiration core. And it doesn't feel like that is being talked about enough, is the fact that if you do that trade and it doesn't work out, you just unnecessarily got rid of one of your key players in order to get Giannis or to get to the altar with Giannis. And if you get left at the altar, that's a really tough pill to swallow for Knicks fans. OG Anunoby is beloved in New York, and I don't know where Knicks fans are with Mikal Bridges at this point or Karl Anthony Towns, but I would have a real tough time if I'm Leon Rose making one of those moves, unless it's a three-team trade with the Milwaukee Bucks. You're not going to be able to trade OG Anunoby unless you guarantee that it's going to be as part of a Giannis trade. So if they make that trade in the next 24 hours with no Giannis deal, that is a roll of the dice. But you have to at least put it on the chessboard, right? That the New York Knicks, if they're going to get into the Giannis sweepstakes, they're going to have to find some way to get their first round picks in order to get into that discussion. The sweepstakes right now, the Knicks are outside of it. Plain and simple. Karl Anthony Towns, you're selling low on him. The Milwaukee Bucks, I don't think you're looking at his contract and saying, that's going to be our the guy that we want to build around going forward. It also, Karl Anthony Towns, hurts our chances of maximizing our 2026 first round pick that is going to be the least favorable with New Orleans. That feels like to me a non-starter if I'm a horse over there in Milwaukee. I don't see a reason for that in the offseason, which is why the trade didn't get done. And I don't see it now. As we see from Shams Charania, the report is that there are aggressive offers being made right now. And I don't think one of them is the New York Knicks. I just wouldn't characterize it as aggressive unless you have a bunch of first round picks to throw them, right? It's kind of a lukewarm offer, which is why.
I mean, I could see them making it aggressively, like yelling at the Bucks and saying like, you should take this offer. But I don't know that it's a competitive
take
offer.
Take it or leave it.
That's right.
We'll leave it. It's a okay.
It's okay. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't know that it's a competitive offer in the marketplace. You want to know a fun, this is like our numbers show, right? A fun dopey little thing. Our pals at Synergy Sports, Sport Radar, as part of their sort of suite of analytics, they've got top league comps for players, right? Where they say, like, based on this player's efficiency and effectiveness in all these different play types and shot types and whatever, here are the players in the league that are most similar to them. And Giannis's this year is Alperen Şengün. So the idea of him going to Houston and being like,
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, we got two of these guys. Also, don't those guys kind of hate each other from the Greece-Turkey matchup in Eurobasket over the summer? Wasn't there some beef over that? I think that's worth remembering. But yeah, you know, the super interesting for these franchises that maybe think they've got a longer runway, right? Like if you're San Antonio, it really is going to put the belief on your whiteboard, right? Or the belief in your scouting and your development where you're like, we are already good. We are already like the second seed in the West and we have proof of concept that we are good against the best team we're going to have to play. And maybe not against everybody else, but we feel pretty confident that we can go toe-to-toe with the champs. And we've had this build that works for us. And we've got the centerpiece guy. We don't need a centerpiece. We feel like we've got a structure that works. How fervently do you hold to that belief when Giannis is there? And when you can put together a package that fits, that makes sense. If you're Houston and you went through, you know, the downtime after the down period, the nadir after the James Harden era and that trade, and it was years in the lottery and like you're making these picks, but what does it turn into? And what are you getting out of it? And now you're here and you got close last year and you get Kevin Durant and you're like, but now we can almost do two timelines, right? Where we can be competitive like this now. KD lets us go for it now, but Şengün and Amen, they're the pathway to the future. We have a runway. How firmly do you hold to that belief in that runway when Giannis is standing there? But like the downside risk of it, right? The most notable calf strains of this season have belonged to Giannis and Victor Wembanyama. So if you are the Spurs, you are then putting an awful lot of eggs in that basket. It's not a really great metaphor. The calf basket of these two guys, the sizable calf baskets of these two guys. That feels gross that I said that way. You are really like it's super committed to those. You need those guys to be on the floor for you. And then if you're Houston, it's we need to figure out how it would work offensively if Şengün's staying put. And
yeah,
like, how does that?
That's an if though.
How do they fit together? How do they fit together? And it's him and KD, right? And you are now, it's two guys on the wrong side of 30 who played an awful lot of basketball, who've had an awful lot of injury issues over the years. And so there's the commitment, it is really like, even if it's not all in, if those teams do still have some picks in the cupboard and some other stuff that they can throw into the pot and try to make something happen, you are accelerating your timeline. You are putting an awful lot into the middle of the table on this wager. So like, yeah, we can say it's Giannis. And just like we said with Phoenix, it's KD. And just like we said with other teams in the past, no, but it's that guy. Of course you go do that. Doesn't always pan out that way. And so there's a lot that you have to weigh. It seems simple as we sit here and discuss it. And in those rooms where those people, where the front office members are making those decisions about how far to go on the offers, what to actually put out in the middle of the table, it's anything but simple.
Yeah, if I'm Houston, I don't put Alperen Şengün in there. He's 23 years old. So if he is a comp, and I don't know if he's a perfect comp, but statistically, like you mentioned, is that they have a lot of similarities in the way that they're not stretchy bigs. They're great passers. Their ability to get downhill and dribble drive and get to the basket and shoot at a high percentage, draw fouls. You can see a future in Houston building around Alperen Şengün and Amen Thompson. Tough thing about adding Giannis Antetokounmpo into that mix is the fit with Alperen Şengün and KD, like you mentioned. And you're probably going to have to get rid of Amen Thompson or Reed Shepherd in that. Imagine if you get Giannis Antetokounmpo, KD, and Şengün without the shooting of Reed Shepherd to just kind of unclog a lot of what you're having with that talent. They're already having shooting at a premium with no Fred VanVleet, right? Reed Shepherd's coming off the bench, but they still, a lot of times, are having spacing issues in the half court. And so if you're going to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo, does it make more sense if you're Houston to just say, love you, Alpi, but we're going to move on from you? If you had told us 3 years ago, drafting Şengün at where we did at like 16th, that we can get Giannis Antetokounmpo for this guy in his prime, Giannis, you make that move. But now Alpi's, you know, an all-star and he added his best. He's an all-NBA talent. And more importantly, he's 23 years old. So you can hedge the KD thing. You can hedge that and say, look, we're not all in on KD's timeline. If you make Giannis the centerpiece and you move Alperen Şengün to Milwaukee, then you're back in the same Brooklyn Nets scenario where it's like we've got both guys, our stars, KD, and another star player on the wrong side of 30 on the back nine of their careers. And if they don't maximize their abilities, their synergies, then we're going to have to hit the reset button pretty quick, like Brooklyn. Does Brooklyn look back at that era, Dan, and say, that was worth it? I don't think so. And so if you're Houston, KD is a couple years older than that Brooklyn formation. So I don't see Houston as being a perfect fit. I do like Giannis and Victor Wembanyama together. I think they're a better fit than Şengün and Giannis. The Atlanta thing, Alperen Şengün he's younger than Jalen Johnson. So like if you're Milwaukee, you might talk yourself into Alpi being on the on your big board ahead of Jalen Johnson. I think we got to talk about another team, low key. They're not quite OKC, but Detroit. They also can hit both of those boxes, right? They can check off both of those boxes of having first round picks to trade, and they have the ability to put in a young player or two into that trade. You got Ausar Thompson, you got Jalen Duren, you got Isaiah Stewart. I don't think you're putting in Cade Cunningham for that trade. I think if you're going to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's to pair him with Cade Cunningham. How about we spend a couple minutes here talking about Detroit? They're the number one team in the Eastern Conference. They have not made a deep playoff run yet. They're not going to be able to sign someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo in the free agent cycle. So if you have the ability to put in, let's just say, Jalen Duren into a trade for a formation around Jalen Duren, first round picks, and trade him to the Milwaukee Bucks, who says no in that situation? Right now, they're six games in the loss column ahead of Boston. Do they want to kind of miss with something? Why fix something if it isn't broken? The Detroit Pistons are in kind of this honeymoon phase, right? Yeah. They're in this honeymoon phase right now with Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, Ausar Thompson, and Isaiah Stewart. Why do you need to kind of go all in for Giannis Antetokounmpo when you haven't even seen what this group can do with Jalen Duren producing at a level like this? So Detroit, it wouldn't shock me if they made a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. It would surprise me. But given that it's Detroit and their ability to attract Top Chef talent through free agency, it's not every day that you're in the marketplace for a talent like Giannis Antetokounmpo. What are your thoughts on Detroit as being a possible suitor here for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I like the idea more than I like the fit. And maybe it's sort of, we're at a place where it's like fit be damned, go after the talent. But the one place where Detroit has been kind of, their resume has been shaky is their shooting. Bottom five in the league in three-point makes, three-point attempts, share their shots that come from three-point land. Like, they are not a great shooting team. They did what they could to, move around when they lost Malik Beasley when Malik Beasley was no longer going to be available to them. Let's say that. Moving on from Tim Hardaway Jr. And they bring in Duncan Robinson, and Danis Jenkins has been nice, and Tobias Harris can help, but like, they're not a great shooting team. They don't space the floor super well. And that's like, their half court offense can get gummed up at times as a result of that. They have been at their best with Cade Cunningham and a live dribble in the pick and roll with roll men, as opposed to like, I need to kick to somebody who's going to then jab step at the elbow and or post up at the nail and survey. Right. So I'm interested in what that would look like. I think they've got an identity. They've sort of coalesced in a way that doesn't necessarily make me feel like what they need is the way the Giannis, like, over Giannis will completely divert the orientation of your organization. Superstars like that, of that size, have their own gravity, right? And everything warps toward them. And I wonder if Trajan Langdon, their general manager there, the head of their basketball operations, has been pretty clear in this process since he took that job, like, not skipping steps, patience. They get to the playoffs last year. They make the gigantic turnaround. They take the Knicks to the limit in that first round series. We are not going to like rush to add talent. They sort of make their smaller moves, ascend even higher in the East. Do they feel like now, with that runway they've got ahead of them, with all these young guys that they've drafted and developed, it's the time to hit the gas? I would be surprised if that was the move. But again, to the point we were saying earlier, like, the temptation when you are already this good has to be so great to say like, but if we did hit the gas, if we do put this, these sort of assets in the middle, that makes us not just like a contender, but maybe the favorite. And I think that it must be so enticing, intoxicating to be so close to have that opportunity. They have projected patience throughout this sort of their run to the top of the Eastern Conference. Is Giannis the kind of guy that makes you throw out that patience, like throw caution to the wind and just go for it? He's certainly that level of talent, top three player in the NBA. I don't know if he's the right player for this Pistons team, but that would be an awful lot of fun to see.
Yeah. All right. So if I'm going to be honest, I think trying to put a big board here in my head of most likely destinations here. Okay. So I think let's spend just a couple more minutes on this Golden State thing, because Golden State, I think before this Jimmy Butler ACL tear, I don't think I would have put them in the Giannis conversation. I wouldn't think that Jimmy Butler makes any sense in Milwaukee because of that incentive to tank. But now, because he's out for the year and potentially out for next season at $57 million next year, the Jimmy Butler variable is really interesting. If you're Golden State and you have an opportunity, like we said earlier, to put Jonathan Kuminga in a trade as the young blue chip talent, which again, I'm not saying he is. He's not, in my opinion, a blue chip caliber talent. Maybe Milwaukee feels that way. Brandon Pajemski, Moses Moody. They're guys, young players that in aggregate, you could probably say blue chip young talent. Then you have the Jimmy Butler contract that can get to the Giannis number, and they have the first round picks. Golden State is really intriguing. I wouldn't be shocked if Golden State ended up with Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point. This was the fake Giannis trade proposal from KOC that we did a couple weeks ago, where actually Kuminga goes to the Blazers and they get a Blazers first round pick to Milwaukee. Of course, the Blazers have a lot of Milwaukee picks here because of that Jrue Holiday trade and the fact that they were able to acquire those assets for Jrue Holiday. This is a thing that I can't say too much of this because I do the Blazers stuff, but I will say yes, that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Golden State Warriors, they kind of seem like a match in terms of they want to maximize losing this season. They want to turn the page. And if you're the Golden State Warriors, this is an opportunity to do right by Stephen Curry and say, we're going to go get the best player on the market. And that was Jimmy Butler for us last year. But now that Jimmy Butler is out, we're going to pivot and we're going to use those first round picks. They have basically every one of their first round picks that they can trade going forward. In a couple of years, they have one that's top 20 protected, I think to Washington as part of the Jordan Poole trade. But they essentially have every one of their first round picks to trade. Damn. I'm going Atlanta, San Antonio. This is most likely, in my opinion, the most likely teams to go and get Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'll go Atlanta number one, San Antonio two, Miami three, Golden State four, Houston five, and Brooklyn six. I don't think OKC's in there. I don't think Detroit is. Don't think Brooklyn is. Don't think the Knicks are. That's how I break things down here. Is there anyone on that list that you feel like you might have a different big board here of most likely trade destinations for Giannis at this point? Any one of those I don't see it.
Yeah, it's not. Well, with the Spurs, it's not that I don't see the outlines of a deal. I think you're absolutely right when you say like the idea of whether it's Steph Castle or Dylan Harper, but like there's your blue chip talent. There's, you know, the place where you can send picks. You can bet, you know, the downside of Atlanta or, you know, whoever. Like there's definitely the broad strokes of a deal there. The Spurs that we've known for 30 years or whatever, 25 years, have been like pretty cautious and conservative in terms of the way that they've approached their team building. And so to me, the idea that they are going to say like, no, now we are throwing a handful of picks and throwing the young talent, the guy that we just drafted number two overall. We're doing all that for today for Wemby. That I'm not sure I believe it. Now, the flip side of that is like, if they look at it and say, we don't really have great modeling on how a 7'7" dude who has had multiple lower, like how, what the future looks like for him, how long the time horizon is, right? Like, not to be, you know, grim or, you know, cast a shadow on it, but like the idea that if they think that their time horizon with Wemby isn't the next 15 years, if it's a little bit shorter than that, then they say like, we need to go, he's ready now. We need to go get the championship caliber team now. That could happen. I would bet against that a little bit. I think, or maybe not bet. I would be surprised if that was, if they were as high up the list personally. I think your point about
real quick on that.
Yeah.
San Antonio has the Wemby window for the next 2 years. He's being paid like mid-level guy, right?
Right.
He's getting paid. Victor Wembanyama is getting paid $13 million this year and $17 million next year. So you have De'Aaron Fox, you have Dylan Harper, and you have Stephon Castle and Wemby at a mid-level contract for the next 2 years, less than a mid-level. This is the time to strike, in my opinion, to go and arm up with a top-shelf talent with Giannis Antetokounmpo with his cap figure, and he's due for an extension. And you make that trade now, I think OKC's trembling. I think right now, if you get Giannis Antetokounmpo next to Wemby, and you're already beating the pants off of OKC this season, I think you can go ahead and say that OKC can't be considered the odds-on favorite to win the NBA title. And I would be willing to put the San Antonio Spurs right on the same tier as the Oklahoma City Thunder, and maybe even a little bit ahead, considering the head-to-head matchups have been so lopsided in those San Antonio matchups. And I'll just say this, Stephon Castle, I don't think would be a part of this deal had they not lucked into Dylan Harper. But now that you got Dylan Harper and De'Aaron Fox, I kind of feel like that makes not Stephon Castle expendable. I wouldn't put that label on.
Sure.
But the risk of losing a point guard of the future, a do-it-all guard who can be your next franchise cornerstone, the risk of trading him away and landing a guy like Giannis is mitigated a ton when you got Dylan Harper too. So if I'm the San Antonio Spurs, I think I do that deal of putting either one of Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo right now. And Giannis says, I'm out 4 to 6 weeks, but it's all very nebulous. It's all very weird. I think if I'm the San Antonio Spurs and I have the opportunity to go find David Robinson next to the Tim Duncan of this team, Victor Wembanyama, I do it because I got Dylan Harper too. I got Stephon Castle too. One of those two guys not there, I don't know if you make the deal, but now you got a veteran all-star in De'Aaron Fox. You can retain Dylan Harper and you get Giannis. Damn. I know it's hard for us on the outside, how conservative we are when it comes to those young talent prospects, to deal for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's out with a calf strain. But you're looking at a starting five of Vassell, De'Aaron Fox, Wemby, Giannis, and you got Luke Kornet off the bench. Dude, that's hard to say no to. That's why I have him at number two.
I think that's reasonable. I also want to remind you that you got to keep your third eye open, as I'm sure you know, because the most likely one is probably the one that you had first, because a few weeks ago on his own podcast, Rich Paul says, if I'm the Bucks, I'm looking at young player, high character, high talent, high IQ. I'm calling Atlanta. I want Jalen Johnson. He's from Milwaukee. Rich Paul represents him, and Rich Paul, according to our pal Henry Abbott, maybe trying to work his way around into the Giannis business. So yeah, maybe we figured out why Rich Paul has a podcast. The other part, like, you have spoken yourself about the star trade trap, right? The idea of, you know, you go and you it's the picks out and the young talent out for the older veteran star that comes back, and you're like,
yep, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, those maybe the mystery box is just turns out to be a box with nothing in it. And you have gone and you've gotten a superstar. That's wonderful. Maybe what's in the mystery box winds up really ruining what you've forsaken for the downslope last few years of paying that superstar huge money. And it's what made the idea of an AD trade less exciting. It's what, you know, some of these other star players that are up on the other side of 30, with their own injury issues. It's what's made those things complicated. And Giannis at this point, I mean, particularly considering he is currently on his second extended calf strain absence of the season, he fits in that bucket. So like, I hear what you're saying. And the idea of if we could turn injuries off and play this on 2K, I absolutely get the point that you're making, or the at full strength, you know, dunks and threes rotation score would be at the, off the charts. These teams have to make these decisions based on how realistic it is that you're going to have that full team ready in April, May, and then especially June. And we have not seen Giannis Antetokounmpo get through one of those gauntlets in a long time. And if you are the Spurs and you are betting, you know, a handful of years of future on this, you better be damn sure that you're going to see the team you want to see in that time of year. And so, I mean, all of which is to say, I'm going to be the wet blanket, the cold water on this. I think the most likely destination for Giannis Antetokounmpo come February 6th is Milwaukee. I think the most likely thing that's going to happen here is this is a canvassing. This is an announcement of we are open for business, and it's not a closed one team exclusive negotiating window. It is come now, give us your best stuff. Let's see what the best offer is today. And if the John Horst and his front office feels that the best offer today is not worth doing it when there could be a better offer in June or in May at the lottery, then they don't do it. And I go back again to that idea, that like Philly example, maybe if they just like don't want to trade Giannis, if their thought process, their feeling is there is no version of us trading Giannis that ends up with us having our jobs. There is no version of us trading Giannis that winds up with this team and this franchise being in a better position or even an okay position moving forward. Then you hold on for dear life and you wait and see what the lottery gods give you and what another trade deadline and the draft, the lottery, and another transaction cycle in free agency affords you the opportunity to do. And you make you put yourself again in that position of, come the summer, you can make that extension offer. And then if Giannis says no, he says no, and then you're screwed. But like, if the animating principle of this from that front office is, we do not want to trade this guy, we have never wanted to trade this guy, and we never want to trade this guy, then I think the most likely set of circumstances here is, yes, Giannis might be ready for a new home, but the Bucks ain't.
Right.
And so on February 6th, he's staying there.
Dan, I love this because it circles back to the big number, which is 16 wins. That is the Milwaukee Bucks win rate every 82 games. If they keep this roster as it is without Giannis, they're a 16-win team. Without Kevin Porter Jr., they're a 12-win team. Okay. So if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you trade for Jalen Johnson, you can kiss that top five pick goodbye, probably. If you trade for Dylan Harper or Stephon Castle or throw in Reed Shepard or Amen Thompson, any of the blue chip young talents that you're going to bring in, that's going to hurt your case to go get an AJ DeBanza. It's going to hurt your case to go get a Darren Peterson. And so if you're Milwaukee, maybe low key, you actually don't want to trade Giannis at this deadline and say, let's just do this all as a conversation. Let's all flirt right now and do it all in the offseason, once you know who you're going to get with that top five pick potentially. And again, they don't control their pick this year, Milwaukee, but that doesn't mean they have no incentive to tank. We need to get rid of that idea. The Milwaukee Bucks have every incentive to tank. They just can't get the number one pick because it would go to New Orleans and then go to Atlanta, okay? But they can get the number two pick, number three pick, number four pick, and it incentivizes them to be as bad as possible this year, which is why they might not want to trade Giannis right now, because whatever you're getting might hurt your odds to go get a blue chip young talent in the draft, right? So a lot of different Wisconsin names that are interesting. Jalen Johnson, Tyler Hero, Brandon Pajemski, Tyrese Halliburton. I think you can cross him off the list going back home to Wisconsin. Not going to happen. And you're just, I think maybe in the end, the 16-win big number was the right way to go, is that maybe at the top of the list is Milwaukee, that they just hold this conversation until this summer and say, all right, now we had those conversations in February, let's really talk turkey now in the offseason. So Dan, That was a lot of fun. I think we did it. We did it live. I want to remind everybody, go smash that subscribe button on the Yahoo NBA YouTube channel. That is brand spanking new. Thanks to everybody who's already done that. Go hit that subscribe button. And go, if you like this, go subscribe to us and rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts. We do this every Wednesday. Maybe not live, but we do this every Wednesday here at Yahoo Sports. And make sure you follow us on Instagram, follow us on all the social media channels. And I want to mention Dunker Spot and the Kevin O'Connor Show, also part of that Yahoo NBA YouTube channel. So go subscribe. Awesome content. I'll be back here tomorrow, Thursday, with KOC. And I'm sure, Dan, he's got a lot of trade proposals ready for us to munch on. So I'm gonna sit here and I have my big board of destinations, of trade destinations, that I'm already kind of formulating these trade scenarios. And KOC is going to come out here and blow them out of the water with some of these crazy trade proposals. So here we go. Subscribe. Thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow here at Yahoo NBA channel with probably another live show at around 11:30. We've been doing it. So go check that out. Dan, we did it. We found some new homes.
But Tom,
ready?
We didn't do it alone. Who do we need to thank?
That's right. Emmy, Sarah, Ryan behind the scenes. Appreciate you guys. We were not going to do this live until 30 minutes before airtime. And we just decided, you know, let's just do this live. It's a lot harder to do this show live. Not to get all nerdy on you on the production side, but it's a lot harder to do this behind the scenes and on camera. You did a great job, Dan. We are ready to see what new home Giannis Antetokounmpo has, because he's ready for it. And the question is now whether Milwaukee is. Thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate you watching The Big Number. We did it live for the first time. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk tomorrow and next week here at Yahoo NBA.